Welcome to the View from the North Cove podcast covering all things North Cove Celtic. I'm your host, Kev. A big thanks to everyone for tuning in to us again. And I can only apologise, it's been a wee while since we were last with yous, but we are back this time around to cover a topic as best we can, a topic that's been making some waves within the support. A lot will have seen it online. Maybe some haven't and are tuning in tonight to find out the script. Campaign that was launched back in February. Green Brigade, Boys Celtic, North Cove, with the aim of one day having a standing area or a real seating area, sorry, whatever you want to call it. I'll go with standing area in the goal end or the traditional Celtic end of Celtic Park. So I'm pleased as well to be joined by a couple more of the boys, Mac and Martin Troops. Cheers for taking the time and coming on.
Hi, thanks for the invite, mate. Pleased to be here.
Good to be back on, Kev.
So, may as well just jump right in there, boys. Celtic end. I'll maybe bring you in, Martin, if you want to give us even a sort of brief rundown, maybe for everybody listening in, what's the aims, why we're doing it, what we're going for.
Aye, so obviously this was launched. Must have been about 6 weeks or so ago now, maybe even a wee bit longer, by the different groups kind of coming together. It wasn't something that was decided kind of off the cuff, right, like that. It was something that people have been speaking about for quite a while now. Obviously, Celtic Park was the first stadium in Britain to have safe standing introduced in 2016, and I'd like to think everybody tuning in the night would agree that that's been a big success, and I think the vast majority of Celtic fans agree also. I think it's been really transformational in terms of the improved atmosphere at Celtic Park, and with that has kind of come a sort of further desire to stand. A lot of we've kind of seen it ourselves with people trying to get into the section. The sort of demand is sort of through the roof. Celtic, by their own admission, have kind of acknowledged that. We try to implement different measures to try and stop that. So, that it got to the kind of stage where we thought that the demand was definitely there for a sort of increased standing section, and we thought kind of important to move the times. We thought the kind of sort of real obvious place for that would be kind of behind the goals, sort of similar to various other sort of successful areas you see around Europe. So, I think when the standing section was first introduced, 2016, as much as it was good, I think there was always probably going to be an idea that it wasn't going to be there forever. The Celtic sport is constantly evolving, particularly over the last sort of 10 to 15 years, and I think we see that kind of almost every passing week now. So, aye, we thought now was the time to kind of at least get the conversation started among the support about moving to the Celtic end and really creating a kind of iconic section behind the goals here.
I think probably Sunday, mate, was actually a good example to fling in straight away. At Hampden and having that, what I think goal end roughly is about 13,000. The last, no, just Sunday, sorry, but the last maybe I would say 10 years anyway. It's just 13,000 standing. Vocally, it's brilliant. Visually, it's brilliant. And it's probably a good example as well to see what, how good it can be and how good a backing it can provide to the team.
Listen, I watched that game back. We'll talk about the cup final for anybody that's maybe listening at a later date, or cup semi final. But I watched that game back, and it was pretty obvious to me. And obviously, I'm biased. I'm coming through sort of green tinted specs, but it's pretty obvious to me the sort of vocal and visual element of the Celtic support was much better than the opposition in my eyes. But having spoken to a couple of neutrals since, they kind of commented the same. And there's absolutely no doubt at all that that helps the team on the pitch and makes for a better spectacle for the fans off the pitch. So, the Hampden semi final and indeed the cup final, I think, are really good examples of that. And listen, that's not going to change. People who are people who are growing up now, that's the way they want, or a lot of people, that's the way they kind of want to support Celtic and that. Like I say, that's not going to change in the near future. So for me anyway, a larger standing section's inevitable. Celtic need, the demands here in Celtic will need to facilitate that in the sort of medium to long term, for sure.
You see, mate, it's just that's probably the best description. It's catering for those that want to back the team and want to support the team, you know, vocally for the 90 minutes and visually through all the different ways that we do. But not even Hampden, but just thinking there, you know, the sort of big games this season, Champions League nights, Rangers games, you've seen, you know, pretty much the full sort of lower tier. I've noticed what sort of kind of goal end round towards us. Hate calling it a Rangers end, but you know, thousands and thousands standing, and it's not just catering for the supporters, but probably taking a lot of a good one, maybe to bring you in, Mac, as well, taking a lot of health and safety stuff that the club have, you know, been no end a kind of hassle for the our safe standing area. It was formed back in 2016. It would tick a lot of the kind of boxes that you know, the club are getting grief at for, you know, thousands of people standing in the old forum as seated areas of the ground.
Yeah, I mean, safety will be a top priority for the club, obviously. And if the demand for people is there to stand, and we obviously think it is, then they should be catered for in the safest environment possible. And I think Hampden's the perfect example. Obviously, we've just been there recently, but any recent times we've been at Hampden, you're talking at least 20,000 Celtic fans are choosing to stand at matches, and that sort of demand can't be ignored. And then, like you said, in recent European games at Celtic Park, you're beginning to see the majority of the Lisbon Lions lower choose to stand. So again, there's signs there that the demand is there for fans to stand at matches. The standing section capacity, it's only 2,800, so that's clearly not sufficient when you're comparing that to the numbers that are standing at Hampden or in European nights. So I think that the club recognise that the demand is there. The big question is, what do they do next in terms of catering for that? And that's obviously where we come in, because for us, the solution is creating one large standing section behind the goals. And we think that the most natural place to have that is the traditional Celtic end.
Think as well, mate, that likes maybe jumping a couple of points here, but the club would probably be looking at, you know, or should be looking at maybe other examples where goal ends are, you know, the traditional area for that type of supporter to go and back the team. But you see, maybe the last or this season anyway, there's been like moves made clearly by the club to maybe reintroduce Swally back at the games. You see the stuff with the bars and different things like that that are opening up, and you're maybe slowly or gradually getting back to drink being sold at the stadium. I know that's no, you know, be all and end all type thing, but there's obviously like a broader picture of, you look at the likes of Dortmund and different examples of thousands, it's, you know, renowned areas of their stadium that's not just backing of the team, but it could be quite good for the club as well, you know, having a sort of area whereby, I don't know, you know, just say for sake's sake, like 15,000 people, you know, renewing straight away overnight, as like turning it into a kind of a hub almost for the support. I was last year, I was at Inter Milan, and their Curva Nord behind the ground, it was, you know, all an all standing area, but there was so much more. You know, there was bars, there was restaurants, it was obviously a commercial kind of gold mine for the club as well. Do you think that should be something that the club could maybe be looking at, just as opposed to, other than just ticking maybe health and safety boxes or ticking or catering for, you know, that type of fan?
Aye, absolutely. So, I mean, from our perspective, we won't exactly be coming at it from a commercial point of view, but the commercial opportunities for the club will be endless. Like, honestly, the potential there is unreal. You only look, have to look at some of the initiatives which we've been involved in the past. So most recently pushing fans or asking fans to wear the hoops for the recent semi. Now, us doing something like that helps the club because the club is then making money off of sales of the hoops. Now that's not our sort of primary objective there. We're obviously wanting to create an end at Hampden which is as colourful as possible. But the knock-on effect is the club does benefit commercially. So it's kind of the same here. By us creating an end at Celtic Park, which is iconic, it's famous around Europe, around the world. It will draw in supporters, it will draw in viewers on the telly, it will draw in sponsors who want to be associated with not just Celtic Park, but that famous, that iconic stand. Then there's so many commercial knock-on effects, even just drawing other fans into the stadium as well. So the potential is massive for the club in general, not just for fans in terms of wanting to produce a better atmosphere.
Yeah.
The demand for the, sorry, just to jump in, the demand for the season tickets to now and to attend Celtic matches in general is through the roof, and a lot of that is because of the attractive football on show, and the manager everybody's kind of taken to, and is really personable and likable and all that kind of stuff. But that will not last forever, and what would be surely in the club's best interest is to make Celtic Park really, really attractive, not just because the football on show is amazing, but because it's such a really good sort of day out for everybody, and a really kind of good fan experience, regardless of whether it's sort of Ronny Dyla or Ange Postecoglou in the touchline.
I see,
And
man. That's
let's be honest here. The average match at Celtic Park isn't that exciting in terms of atmosphere. So obviously with most games we're seeing good football, which is brilliant. But the actual general atmosphere around the ground, it's not that great. So if we again compare it to Hampden, so the atmosphere at Hampden was electric in the semi there. Obviously it was against the Huns, and if you compare it to other home matches against the Huns, and then usually it's pretty good as well. But your run-of-the-mill games, they're not that great in terms of general atmosphere around the stadium. You've got the standing section, which even itself you could say is a bit of a ceiling. It's plateaued a bit. You've obviously got the front area, which is fairly lively, but the back isn't as lively. The opposite corner, you've obviously got the boys who've made a great impact over there as well. But that atmosphere isn't carrying round. Same with our corner, it doesn't carry around the entire stadium. So if you bring both together, if you have one united standing section, one area where both ultras groups can be together and can generate the atmosphere, then it will feed out better and more around the stadium.
I know. I think it helps, as you said there, that the standing area or our area is kind of limited as to what you can do. It's probably hit a bit of a ceiling, as you said there.
See, just on the, I kind of take us back a point as well, but we're just talking about obviously the desire to stand, and it's unquestionable and all that, but I think it's also important to acknowledge there will be people, maybe listening to this, but there will be people within the Celtic sport who want to sit and watch the game. And that is regardless of who the opposition is. That goes for whether it's a derby game, a Champions League game. Doesn't matter how big the game is. Some people just want to sit and watch the game, and that's absolutely fine. What we risk doing, or what the club risk doing by no action, is with a desire to stand prevalent around the stadium, and with no a big enough standing section to accommodate that, you'll have people choosing to stand anyway, which will then impede the people who want to sit as view. So the club have got to actually increase the standing area, not just for people who want to stand, but actually also for people who want to sit and enjoy the game as well.
100%, mate. It's just that was the sort of big argument way back when we were in talks with the club to get standing itself implemented within the ground, and it was all about not just sort of catering for those that wanted to stand, but helping to cater for everybody. They cater for those that want to go in and hospitality and go in with their suits on and get a pint and get the free course meal and stuff like that, which is fine. Cater for those that want to go in and sit and watch a game, which is fine, but as I said, catering for those that want to go in and back the team in the way that we do. But I think as well, The big thing for us is, as I was saying there, about being limited in our own area, but it's obviously such an attractive thing for the youth of the support. I think that's seen in our, 15, 16 years, whatever we've been going, that how much that mentality's grew within the support. But I think if you've got a better canvas, i.e. the Celtic end, with, thousands more seats and an area that could just grow, lower tier probably to start with. But Dortmund's probably got the best example. But having that kind of canvas where you could grow into a massive, massive goal end, and something, like a mentality that's just going to go one way, and having it there to let it grow type thing. But I think just the kind of main reason that we wanted to get this podcast out as well was that there's some stuff in the pipeline from the club that we were looking to kind of move on to cover. We're obviously always wary of time and our episodes and stuff like that, but you could talk all night about the pros of Celtic ends and stuff like that. But the big thing that we wanted to cover the night was the stuff that's coming out of the club. I think maybe Mac, he'd be better maybe coming in, mate, the sort of the census stuff that's in the kind of pipeline and what we are sort of looking for, the support are looking for, everybody that's going to receive that, to maybe help us out a little bit by, filling it out in a way that will help us, maybe gain some traction on this kind of stuff.
Aye. So the club are due to launch a fan census, which is essentially going to be a survey. And as far as I'm aware, that's going to be aimed at all Celtic supporters. However, there will be the survey itself will be tailored towards different types of supporters. For instance, if you're a season ticket holder, you will probably have different questions to people who aren't season ticket holders. The important thing about this survey for us is that there are going to be questions regarding safe standing. So the point of this is essentially to gather data on the demand of fans to stand at matches. So that's why it's really important for us that the demand to stand is evidenced through this survey. So basically what we're asking is for Celtic fans who want to stand at matches to make sure that they answer this these questions in relation to standing and answer them favourably, obviously, if they want to stand at matches. So it's really important. We don't have a great deal of information about this census at the moment or exactly what questions are going to be asked. We just know that there will be questions relating to standing, so it's really important that they are answered favourably.
I think it's just for it, or for the campaign, or for any sort of movement for a goal end, to ever kind of get off the ground or gather pace in any way, the club kind of need that feedback for the support, or need that kind of feedback that there's a demand there. Or, basically, if the census goes out, as Max says, there's a million different questions in it, but the question in relation to standing at the games, if that comes back, 99% from thousands and thousands of season book holders, 99% are get back to them saying, yes, I'm in favour of it, yes, I'd like to be a part of, a standing area, then I think they're kind of duty bound to, maybe move or take action on behalf of that, those supporters that have got back to them favourably. So it's basically just pleading with everybody that, probably a lot of the support when they get these things out over the years and questionnaires and different things like that, they would just patch them with, and they'll give them a second look. But it's us kind of explaining that a lot's sort of hinging on this feedback to the club. And, we can sit here and plead with everybody about how much we're into, big, massive displays and vocally backing a team as best we can, but just kind of hear us out and maybe give a wee dig out type thing and fill the census out favourably. Martin, would you think anything to come in, mate?
Well, I was just about to say, I was going through the the inbox for people who had originally expressed their interest. So there's thousands there anyway. So as far as I'm concerned, the mandate's kind of almost, mandate's a kind of funny word to use, but as far as I'm concerned, the mandate is kind of there already. So it's important that not only do we see that, but it's important that the club see that. So if you filled out a form expressing your interest, then it's, can you do it again and do it to the club? And if you have no, but you're still interested, then again, the club need to hear that. So that is, that's the first big step, and it is an important, crucial step. So aye, I'd ask everybody to do that. To be honest, I think it's a good idea anyway. I encourage people to fill out anyway, but for in terms of the for a standing perspective, that's it's going to be vital.
Yeah.
The census in general is essentially an exercise in fan engagement, so I think it should be applauded. I
Aye.
think the last time the club done something like this, you're talking over 10 years ago. I can't actually remember it, but I think it was round about that time. So yeah, I think it is a positive exercise. The club are showing that they are reaching out to supporters, they want to take their opinions on a whole host of different things. It just so happens that one of the most important things for us at this moment will be the standing section stuff, which is why we're asking fans to keep an eye out for that and obviously answer it favourably if obviously they're into standing at matches.
And I know Mac as well, we don't have a lot of sort of information on it or details on it, but there's no been kind of rough sort of dates on when this could possibly, if it's sort of a summertime or any time soon or anything like that.
Well, originally we were advised that it would be launched around about April, and that was why we launched the Celtic End campaign in late February.
February, mate.
So we launched it because we wanted to meet that census going out. We wanted to make fans aware of it so that they could obviously answer these questions favourably, as we keep saying. As far as I'm aware, there has been complications with it because it's quite a big project. It's quite a complex survey or census, as far as I'm aware. So there has been difficulties in terms of tailoring that for the needs of the club. So it has been pushed back. And the last I heard was it's probably going to be launched during the summer break. So yeah, just keep an eye out for it. Then I'm sure once it is ready, the club will be all over it in terms of comms. Will be putting out stuff to make fans aware about it, and obviously we'll do the same as well through our social media, just to make sure that fans are aware it's coming.
Oh,
And
perfect.
if we do get any further information, then as well we'll feed that out.
Perfect. Just obviously wary of time as well. And a few kind of points to cover it. One of the things that's just come up actually today that was put out by us is a wee fixture coming up next Thursday, which might be a good. I know there's a few sort of plans in place that we can touch on, but sort of immediate stuff that's happening is next Thursday where are looking to attend the women's team fixture at Celtic Park, where we're going to be in attendance in the Celtic End and hopefully giving it a wee kind of trial run. One of the boys wanting to come in and sort of speak a wee bit about that. I know there was some ticket information and stuff like that we maybe want to cover for anybody listening in.
Hi, so I mean, I think this is pretty exciting because it's an opportunity for us to get into the Celtic End as a group, the Green Brigade. We've never been in that stand before. We've never done our stuff in there before, so it's something different, something fresh for us. We'll be there with boys again and the North Cove. So I think it's quite exciting. Obviously, that's the Celtic women who are playing there in our top of the table clash against Glasgow City. They're also in the Scottish Cup final as well. So, I mean, they're coming to the end of a really good season for them. Not quite over the line yet with either competition, but they are on the brink of making history, just like obviously the Celtic first team on the brink of a treble. So, I think it would be really, really positive if the Celtic support in general were to get behind the women's team on Thursday night. It is free to season ticket holders, so season ticket holders, all you have to do is go on to e-ticketing and purchase your ticket. It is free, although there is a £1.50 admin or booking fee, unfortunately. However, I do believe if you go into the ticket office, you can pick up a ticket. So if you're looking to avoid that booking fee, then you can head into the ticket office. For members of North Cove Celtic, we have sent emails to you regarding further ticket information. So we will have tickets to distribute to members of North Cove Celtic prior to the kickoff. So have a look at your inbox if you haven't caught it yet, and we'll sort you out.
Oh, perfect. I think just as you said, there may to touch on obviously getting the women's team the backing at a crucial point of their season is brilliant and it's fresh, but it's a good opportunity as well to kind of showcase how a bigger area and getting two groups together with the boys coming in as well, and just sort of showcasing how good that could be, bringing the noise and bringing the colour from a traditional goal end of the stadium. Mark, may I?
Sure. They I've watched a few of the games this season, and they tend to be really, really tight. So I don't imagine this game will be any different. Glasgow City have also been the kind of dominant force side for last year in the sort of women's game in Scotland. So it'd be really, really massive for Celtic to not only beat them that night, but to put them to the league. And I just imagine the sort of difference a sort of packed Celtic end would make to the team in the second half if they're push for a winner or whatever. So I'd really encourage everybody to make the effort to go. It's no clashing with a men's fixture or anything like that. So I'd encourage everybody to go. I think they'll enjoy it. The other thing to add is, and this is not just the case for this game, but you don't need to be an ultra to get a ticket in the Celtic end. That's not going to be the It's not going to be the case moving forward, and it's not going to be the case for next week. The ultras will be there and be behind the goals, but if you want to stand and watch the game and just join in with the odd song or sort of vocally or visually support the team, then please make the effort to come to the Jock Stein stand, and I'm sure it'll be a good night, and the team will appreciate it.
I think that's a good point, mate, because it was one of the sort of when the campaign was first launched, it was one of the kind of things. I know personally, I was getting some feedback off of guys that were, maybe just seeing it and seeing the headlines of us pushing for a, an ultra section in the goal end, and guys that have, had their tickets there, and as you touched on earlier, Martin, are no interested in supporting the team like that. I just want to go in and sit and watch the games like they do. But it's important to remember that, a goal end, it wouldn't be this mad area of, thousands and thousands of people doing what we do. We would be doing what we do. But that was the few guys that I spoke to back when the campaign was launched, and they were asking about it. And after speaking to them and explaining, probably a good example to give is it could be like a blank canvas as well for guys that maybe are not into, going mental and going bonkers like we do, but a blank canvas for guys that would like to go and, stand and would like to go and back the team a bit vocally. It gives them a blank canvas as well. I'm trying to think of a good example, probably, that I know there's a few boys that I'm pally with off the Salt Market Bus that are in our block just now. And they're not down the front of our block, they're just up towards the back. I think maybe half a dozen of them in total, but I know there's loads more on the Salt Market Bus that would probably, well, I'd like to think maybe like to go to the games together. And maybe if like a blank canvas of the Celtic end became available, then what's to say, the Salt Market Bus or any other bus or CSC or whatever couldn't get, 50 tickets or 40 tickets, say they're members there and have their own wee area of, a Celtic end where they could be there, they could, have their banner out, they could enjoy the game together. I'd imagine a lot of CSCs are all their members and stuff and mates even that just go to the games are scattered all about the ground at the minute. And having an opportunity as well for a big kind of blank canvas. Not just a great opportunity for us and the boys as ultras and as groups, but a good opportunity for people like that, if that makes sense. I kind of went away in a wee bit of a tangent there, but it was a good example that popped up in my head when the campaign was launched. There's a lot of guys, you know, getting. Actually, I had one of my uncles phone me when I was at my work, and it was just like, what do you think these are doing? Like, you go, I've had my ticket in there, I'm no interested in jumping about or banging drums or my tap off or anything like that, and these are trying to chuck me out. And I think, well, that's not the case at all. Do you know what I mean? I think that was a key point of maybe getting a few years on this podcast tonight to speak and explain it a wee bit better.
Just on that, when you see the CSC flags and CSC standing together at away games and at Hampden and that, and it's brilliant. There's you know, absolutely no reason for it to be encouraged. The Celtic end to get their sort of flags out and have their sort of CSCs visible every home game as well.
It's a good example as well, Martin, that you know, examples of round about Europe, it's either ultras groups in these areas of the ground, but the most part, you know, when you're talking a goal end of maybe 10,000 people, there's only, you know, a few hundred ultras groups in it, and the majority of them are made up of fan clubs and made up of, you know, essentially CSCs and groups of mates and stuff like that. But I just think that's something that guys should maybe be thinking of. It'll be an area where there'll be tifos, there'll be displays happening, and you know, it'll be where the vocal backing of the team would be coming from. But it's a good opportunity for you know, buses and guys like that to maybe get together and have their own wee part in it.
It's also a good opportunity for all these fans to come together and make a positive difference to Celtic Park in general. Like, one of the things which we've done through North Cove Celtic is just bring fans together under a banner and then take their sort of voices or suggestions to the club. And then off the back of that, we see improvements to the area. And the perfect example of that is the murals, which fans from across the stadium come to see and take pictures of because they really like them, especially the one, the stained glass effects of the legends. So, I mean, things like that are examples of what we essentially envisage for the Celtic end. It's not just a case of getting into the Celtic end and singing and waving flags. We really want to bring that full area alive. And it goes back to what you were saying as well, Kev, about sort of creating a really sort of vibrant fan hub. So, I mean, that's the overall vision, I would say. The ambition is just creating a full better experience for fans in that area.
I think as well, it's probably maybe not a great point to make the now while well, we're doing so well on the park, but a good example, you know, I keep mentioning Dortmund and places like that, but as that mentality kind of grows within the support, that kind of ultras type mentality that's growing within us and growing within maybe the youth of the support more than in any other area, but it takes away from a wee bit, it takes away from the kind of success on the park being a factor in, you know, areas of the ground. So like, I think you mentioned it earlier, Martin, about the Daila years and, you know, the years of banners like covering empty seats up in the top tier and stuff like that. But if you're, you know, pushing that or having an area where you're able to push that mentality a bit further, it gets away from that a wee bit. There's quite a lot of clubs in Europe that don't do well on the park, but their goal end will sell out overnight because it's almost like a, what's the best kind of word to describe it? It's like a sort of religion or like a kind of that mentality of you just, you know, you're there to back the team and you're there in the Celtic end to back the
It's
team. And
culture. It's a, I suppose it's a subculture, isn't that?
yep.
And it's one which is growing considerably here over the last 10 years, especially. But it's only going to continue to grow, as you said previously, Kev, about the sort of youth coming through. They want to support the team in this sort of style. They want to stand at matches. And that's only going to keep moving in the same direction. It's only going to progress and grow. So whilst we think or know that the demand is there to stand at the moment, that demand's only going to increase. So, I mean, if we're talking about the Celtic End campaign initially being for the Jockstein Lower, then the day's going to come and it's going to be for the Jockstein Upper as well. And then the day's also going to come where you're going to be talking about doing similar at the husband lines end.
Scottish football's no blessed with, you know, a lot of money in terms of bringing in sort of attractive players, and you know the pitches are shite, and you know could be here all day sort of talking about the gripes about Scottish football. But what we still do have, and actually what's you know improving, is a sort of vibrant fan culture. We've got you know attendances which we really shouldn't have, considering our kind of small population. People want to go to games, and more, and this is not just exclusive to Celtic, more and more people want to be sort of actively supporting their team. You see that, you know, up and down the country. And actually, there's a kind of an irony here that Celtic were the first to have that kind of fan scene, the first to kind of embrace it, the first to have a standing section. You'll see other clubs implement a standing area behind the goals sooner rather than later. And what a crying shame it would be if our club was left behind after being the pioneers of it only a few years ago.
No, you're right, mate, you're spot on. Another wee kind of point I wanted to sort of cover was, you know, when the campaign was launched, there was obviously a lot of feedback online, more than most, and I was trying to get a couple of the kind of main gripes or main sort of questions that folk would maybe have that we could maybe touch on tonight or try and cover as best we can tonight. I think one of the main ones that I've jotted down here was, say, if I can bring one of you boys in, say maybe like an existing season book holder that is in the goal end the now and has been in the goal end for, you know, X amount of years, has nae interest in what we do, has nae interest in there ever being a standing section in the Celtic end, doesn't want to move, you know, is not going to move. What could you maybe be saying to somebody like that? Because you know there clearly is going to be a lot of people in that boat. What would you think is the sort of best way of maybe answering those kind of gripes? Maybe put that, say, Mark, do you want to come in?
That it's a difficult one, and I've personally had these conversations with fans in the area because obviously we did the leaflets a couple of months back, I think. So while we were doing that, I was attempting to engage with as many people as possible. Ideally, those who were objecting or had criticisms, because essentially those are the people that we need to win over. Those are the people who could be the biggest hurdle for this project becoming a success. So it's really important that we can engage with them and change their opinion. So for somebody like that, so somebody who's sat in the Celtic end all their days, got no interest in doing anything that we want to do and has got no interest in moving, it's obviously pretty difficult. But really, I would be appealing to them to consider the bigger picture for the full football club. So the bigger picture for every fan in the stadium in terms of what could potentially happen in terms of atmosphere, the bigger picture for the players on the park, the difference it could make to them, the support that they could receive if they have a full goal end cheering them on as opposed to just two corner sections. The bigger picture for the club commercially, the money that they could make off of having that famous iconic goal line and the numerous knock-on effects of that. So yeah, so really just thinking of that bigger picture than the impact that the area could have on the club as a whole and in general.
It's just basically asking folk to hear us out a wee bit into it, and hear
Yeah,
us. Listen,
be open-minded, I suppose.
I don't think anybody's under any illusions. That was always going to be the biggest sort of hurdle to overcome. It was always going to be the kind of biggest sort of talking point. People are attached to their seat. I mean, people have been in it since, you know, the very beginning. I've got my own family are in this boat as well, in terms of being in that stand since the opening of the stadium. Some people get emotional attachments, maybe sat there with, you know, parents or family members who are, you know, maybe sadly no longer here. And it's important that first we acknowledge that and make sure that people know that we can understand the, you know, the reasons behind that. But equally, like Max said, you can just ask people to kind of see it for the greater good. Essentially, we're all there. All is include, I mean, all Celtic fans, not just those in the North Cove, all Celtic fans are there. want to cheer on Celtic for the greater good for the team, the club, and the supporters. And I think it'd be difficult to argue that a bigger active support at the Celtic end would be anything but an advantage to the team in the park. I think I speak for everybody when I say we're kind of sick of, no making an impression in Europe, and talk about the sort of glory days of O'Neill's team and the difference the Celtic Park crowd made to some of the ties. Some of the sort of Europe elites are now so much stronger, and the gap's widening on the park. Celtic as a club and a fan base have got to do what we can to bridge that gap. And one of our weapons that we can use is the sort of noise and the notoriety of the Celtic support, and sort of harness that. And again, the Celtic end could make the world of a difference to these sort of Champions League ties. We've no won a knockout tie here today. We've no won a walk knockout tie since 2004. It's incredible. And
Mad.
listen, Celtic fans mind the goal, can he knock the ball over the line? But we can certainly make a difference.
You maybe get a lot of guys jumping at a chance, I know, because in terms of those that want to sit and watch the game, there must be the worst seats in the ground to be sitting, row A behind the goal, can't see a thing. Whereas, we'd bite your hand off for
There's also
that.
an opportunity for people who want to remain behind the goal to be behind the goal as well. Some of the people who are in the North Cove, they now were sitting in seats in 111 and 112 when the stand section came about. So, like I say, through positive engagement, a bit of maybe a bit of sort of compromise here and there, I'm sure we can work out for the vast majority of people. And like I say, it's for the greater good.
It's
Engagement.
also important to remember that we've been through this exercise before twice in the past. So in 2010, when the first Green Brigade section was created, that had to be created at the relocation of other fans at that time. So we had to go through this exercise then. And then again, when the standing section was introduced in 2016, again, there was an element of fans being relocated who didn't want to be part of that. So this isn't new territory for the club to explore. This exercise, and that's all we're looking for at this moment in time, is for people to explore. We're not saying it has to happen next season or the season after. It's very much a sort of medium-term goal, but we want the club, and we want fans to be seriously considering that it is a real prospect, and to be open-minded to it.
Just as you touched on there, Martin, about engagement, and I know Matt had spoke about the leaflets that we'd done. Wouldn't have been too much longer, maybe sort of March time, but I think that's quite big because there'll obviously be thousands listening into this tonight. I hope there's loads, and I hope it's been beneficial for put a few things to rest with a lot of people that are listening in. But there'll obviously be a lot of the support that aren't online. I know on, podcasts and different things like that, but there will be kind of plans in place for maybe more leaflets, maybe, different things. I don't really know at this stage what we can do kind of before the sort of census stuff, but
We first leafleted just the Jock Stein stand for obvious reasons. It was really important that people there got their place, and that was really important to us. And I think that the people there really appreciated that, and that gave us the opportunity to talk to them on a one-to-one basis as well. I think the next step, I don't think this is organised or confirmed as yet, but I think the next step is to do that hopefully in a wider scale, and then try and sort of further engagement with people in other areas of the stadium, and sort of answer any questions where we possibly can as well. So, like I say, I don't want to say that that's a definite because we've not got that absolutely confirmed yet, but that's hopefully going to happen before the end of the season.
I think just to go back onto the kind of questions, and obviously covered a sort of big one there, but one of the no really so much a question, but one of the big kind of talking points when the campaign went live was, the specific area that we're going for, the Celtic end behind that goal, obviously at the minute has the corporate suites and the corporate seats, the lounges and stuff, and that was one of the big kind of talking points, Twitter and forums and different things like that, guys saying, "Oh, that'll never happen, the club will never, they'll never, move out or change their hospitality setup or the fancy seats in the goal end, maybe when he's wanting to come in and maybe kind of touch on what your thoughts on that is.
Well, I had a discussion with a couple who have got season tickets in that area. So again, this is when we were doing the leaflets. And they seen it as an opportunity to develop the corporate package, which I agree with. So it doesn't have to be seen as a negative. It could be seen as introducing better and more corporate packages in another stand. So that could be expanding the seats in the north stand, or it could be introducing a full new area in the Lisbon Line stand. And it and like I said, you could be improving the package which is on offer for those types of supporters. It doesn't have to be to their detriment.
The only thing I was just going to add is Celtic Park's no an Etihad, it's no a sort of Tottenham Stadium or an Emirates or anything like that. The corporates, it doesn't make up a big portion of the support either. It's no something that we're particularly famous for. And while it might be important for those people who are there, like Max said, it's actually an opportunity for them to kind of revamp and transform their offering on that front as well. But it's not like we've got multiple restaurants or anything like that we need to sort of move around the stadiums. It's not like that.
In terms of opportunities, so if you are redesigning one aspect of the stadium, it will open up opportunities for other areas. So, for instance, one thing which a couple of us discussed previously is if you were to free up the current standing section, then that could be used as a accessible area. So you could incorporate like accessible platforms into that area. That section of the ground is already an area which is used for accessible access in terms of the concourse. A lot of supporters who sit on the north stand, so sort of touchline, there's a disabled season tickets there. They'll come in and out through the turnstiles at 111. So you've already got that access point. You've already got the lift which is used by disabled supporters there as well. So I mean, there could be an opportunity to totally revamp that experience as well.
So I think we've kind of covered pretty much everything. Guy's main thing was sort of census, briefly kind of explaining why the campaign was started and what we're looking for it. But main thing was getting podcast out, episode out to speak on the census when it drops, what we're asking everybody to do. Covered a couple of questions there as well, which is good. And hopefully, as I said at the start of the episode, we've not been with yous for a while, but hopefully we'll be back up and running and getting some more regular episodes out, hopefully touching on this subject a wee bit more going forward as well. So, hi, just big thanks to Mac and Martin Troops. Cheers for coming on, taking the
Hey,
time to come on and speak with us.
well, mate, thanks for having us. Hopefully, see you and everybody else at the game on Thursday.
Celtic in debut.
I can't wait.
Come on, you girls in green.
Aye, cheers, Trips, and aye, big thanks everybody for listening in. Cheers.